welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Glory to God. So glad to be back here for the second service. Amen. So humbled by the introduction. As I was hearing him speak, all I could say is, God, that's grace. It's no goodness of my own. Anything that God has allowed me to do is nothing but the grace. If it had not been for his grace, my God, I thank God for his grace. Amen, amen. If there are young people in the room, if it's okay, I'm going to ask you to move up your seats a little bit and come sit up here with us, the young people, the youth, y'all that was just stretched across the front of this altar. If you can come sit up here with us, I'm going to minister to the young people this afternoon. I told you this morning that there was a word of admonishment, but this afternoon there is a word of encouragement. Amen. Giving honor to God one more time for allowing me to be here and to stand in this place. Y'all don't understand. I'm working on borrowed strength right now. Amen. Borrowed strength. And I was so blessed. I get excited when I see the dancers dance, and I said that this morning, how much I really love dance ministry. That is my passion. I would rather be miming than preaching. I'm going to just be honest. Amen. But as they were ministering at the end, and Minister Furby started playing, and I started dancing up there, she said, but I could dance all night. I was reminded just how old I am. I said, listen here now, sis, you got to choose one. Either you're going to dance or you're going to preach. You can't do both. I get excited and I start to praise God. Then I got to pull out my asthma pump. I'm like, my God, the way these lungs are set up. Amen. But thank God that there's a praise in the house. I would not want to go to a dead church where there's no praise. That's more like a graveyard. Hallelujah. But I'm grateful when you could come into the house and the Spirit of the Lord is moving, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And if you ain't free, you're going to get free when you're getting in the presence of God. Amen. Amen. Once again, I honor my leader, Bishop Maureen L. Davis, from the Open Door Mission True Light Church, who have given me permission to come out this morning. I serve my bishop as her executive assistant, so I never take it for granted when she allows me to come out on a Sunday morning. And I will not be at church for the next 2 weeks, because as of Tuesday, I'll be on vacation. So I am so grateful that she allowed me to come here and worship with you all this morning. I want to give honor to the presbyter of this house, to Minister Lingham. Thank you so much for your hospitality this morning. Amen. To Deacon Nix, thank you so much for your hospitality. Deaconess Charlotte, she left already, but she was a blessing this morning. Deaconess Rose, thank you so much for your hospitality. And to Trustee Pelzer and to Minister Pyfrom. So grateful for the invitation from Minister Pyfrom. Excited to be here, and I just want to give honor where honor is due. Amen. Amen. Once again, I want to acknowledge my mother, who woke up very early this morning to come and to be with me. Amen. My father is also in the house. Amen. My father and my stepmother and my grandmother are in the house. And I thank God because they came all the way from Mount Airy to come and worship with us this morning. Amen. And I see my sister Leanne back there. And I don't ever take it for granted when people come to worship with me. Amen. Because they could be at their own church this morning. So I'm so grateful. Thank you for coming and supporting me this morning. All right, there is a word from the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Kings 11. Young people, I hope you have Bibles. Grab a phone, grab something. I say you should always be checking the preacher in the word. Can't go to war without a sword, amen? I'm going to read out of 2 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through, I'm going to stop at 14a. 1 through 14a. And there's a lot of names in this passage, so if I trip, have mercy on me. Give me some grace. This may not be a very familiar passage, but if you stay with me, I'm going to try to make it plain for you guys this morning. Amen. Can we stand for the reading of the word to give honor to the word of God? I'm reading out of the New International Version. Verse 1 reads as follows. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she proceeded to destroy the whole royal family. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram and sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the royal princes who were about to be murdered. She put him and his nurse in a bedroom to hide him from Athaliah so he was not killed. Verse 3. He remained hidden with his nurse at the temple of the Lord for 6 years while Athaliah ruled the land. In the seventh year, Jehoiada sent for the commanders of the units of 100, the Karaites and the guards, and had them brought to him at the temple of the Lord. He made a covenant with them and put them under oath at the temple of the Lord. Then he showed them the king's son. Verse 5, he commanded them, saying, "This is what you are to do. You who are in three companies that are going on duty on the Sabbath, a third of you guarding the royal palace, a third at the cert gate or the south gate, and a third at the gate behind the guard, who take turns guarding the temple. And you who are in the other two companies that normally go off Sabbath duty are all to guard the temple for the king. Station yourselves around the king, each of you with weapon in hand. Anyone who approaches your ranks is to be put to death. Stay close to the king wherever he goes." Verse 9, the commanders of the unit of 100 did just as Jehoiada the priest ordered. Each one took his men, those who were going on duty on the Sabbath and those who were going off duty, and came to Jehoiada the priest. Then he gave the commanders the spear and shields that had belonged to King David and that were in the temple of the Lord. This is good. The guards, each with his weapon in hand, stationed themselves around the king near the altar and the temple from the south side to the north side of the temple. 12. Jehoiada brought out the king's son and put the crown on him. He presented him with a copy of the covenant and proclaimed him king. They anointed him, and the people clapped their hands and shouted, "Long live the king!" When Athaliah heard the noise made by the guards and the people, she went to the people at the temple of the Lord. She looked, and there was the king standing by the pillar. This is the word of the Lord. You may have your seats. Amen. My subject for this morning, and of course I have a subtopic as well because that's just what I do. But my subject for this morning is the devil can't kill who God said crown. The devil can't kill who God said crown. And my subtopic is King Me. King Me. Father, we love you. We honor you. We thank you again for this opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk. Father, we know that it is no ability of my own, but it's only by your grace, only by your anointing, and only by your power that I can preach this word. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would bless the ears of those who hear. I pray, Lord, that the word will go forth in clarity and in power. I pray that the young people are blessed and encouraged, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for the destiny that you have preordained for their lives. And we thank you, oh God, that this word was ordained even from the foundation of the earth to be a seed planted on their journey, oh God. I pray that you would just have your way. Let somebody be encouraged. Let somebody be convicted. Let somebody be strengthened. In Jesus' name we pray, we thank you. Amen. The devil can't kill who God said crown. If you will allow me to reminisce for a moment, I can remember when I was a child, my cousins and I used to play a game that I'm sure many of you are familiar with called checkers. Anybody ever played checkers in the house before? Amen. Just about all of us. Oh, y'all never played checkers? I feel sorry. What kind of childhood y'all had? Anybody ever played checkers in the house before? Amen. The whole house. On the surface, checkers was a quite simple game because all that was required to play was red and black square checkerboard. And each player was given 12 circular game pieces. The one player was given red, and the other player was given black. As we all know, the game started. Each player would set their men up on each side of the board, opposite sides. And the goal was to somehow strategically remove all of your opponent's men from the board and to make it to your destination, which was the King's Row. Y'all remember that? It was the King's Row. And because it was a game of taking the other man's out, sometimes you would even have to move your pieces in such a strategic way where you had to form a fortress around your men to keep one of them from getting jumped. Y'all was probably cheaters. I could feel it already in the room. I can remember as a child playing this supposedly simple game for hours. You would sit there and you'd be contemplating your next move because nobody wanted to lose. It wasn't just enough for you to have all of your opponent's pieces, which really meant that you were the winner of the game. But the truth of the matter is you were not happy until you made it to the other side, to that last row, and was able to shout, "King me." To be truthfully honest, I didn't even understand as a young child what the big deal was about getting to the king's row, because I was competitive, and all I know is I wanted to win. So I was happy if I had your men because that meant that I won. But now that I'm older, I understand that being king meant that you was royal. Being king came with a certain level of clout and respect on the board. Being king meant that you had authority. It meant that you were ruling the board, that you could move anywhere that you wanted to move, that you can jump however many times you wanted to jump. It means that you were the dominator of the board. Being king meant that the enemy or your opponent was vulnerable to you. Your opponent had to come subject to you and your ability to move all around the board. So somebody may be sitting here wondering, well, what is the relevance of the explanation of this childhood board game? But the relevance lies in the fact that when you see it in the natural, it's literally just a game. But when you see it in the spiritual or with a spiritual eye, you'll understand that the context of this game is very parallel to our lives as believers. This game is a reflection of the spiritual battle between good and evil that we fight in on a daily basis. On one side, we have a generation. We have a group of people who are simply trying to get to the king's row. I'm just trying to get to my destiny. I'm just trying to get to the place that God has preordained for my life. I'm striving daily, trying to fulfill God's purpose for my life, but I got an opponent. I got an opponent, and Paul describes this opponent in Ephesians chapter 6. He says he's the enemy of your soul, and he picks it up in Peter. Peter picks it up and said, and he's walking around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's doing anything and everything that he can to get me to trip up on my journey. He wants to stop my progress and ultimately take me out of the game. In other words, if you would allow me to summarize based off of this game of checkers, there are two main reasons that we go through hell in our life. There are two main reasons that we face frustration, that we face afflictions, that we face setbacks. There are two main reasons, even as young people, that we find ourselves in places where we feel like failures. There are two main reasons that we find ourselves struggling with things like low self-esteem. And the reasons is because, number one, God is trying to make a king out of you. And number two, the enemy is coming for the king in you. God is trying to make a king out of you, whether you are male or female. He's trying to give you this status of authority. He wants you to understand that you are royal. He wants you to understand that you've got power over the enemy. But at the same time, the enemy of your soul is coming for the king in you. God has called you to a place of dominion and power. But the enemy wants to see you defeated. I've never seen a day with so many defeated Christians walking around with your head bowed down, walking around struggling with depression, walking around feeling oppressed. I've never seen a day with so many defeated Christians. The enemy wants you to be defeated, but the Bible declares in 1 Peter chapter 2 and 9 that you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's special possession, and he's called you, snatched you out of darkness, and put you in a marvelous light so that you can declare the praises of those who called you. In other words, The crown belongs to you. The crown belongs to you. The Bible says that you are an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And it is for this very reason that the enemy can't stand you. It is this very reason your very existence is a reminder to him every single day that his proper place and position is under your feet. I might not be able to get all A's. I might not have a 4.0, but your position is still under my feet. I may not be the boss just yet. I might not have all the money I need, but your position is still under my feet. Under my feet. That's why it's so important for this generation to understand the significance of what it means to be royal. You have an elevated status. You are not just ordinary, you are extraordinary. You are not average, you are above average. You are not like everybody else. You have an elevated status, and we got to be careful because the day that we live in, the world will tell you it's okay to be everything else. When you look at people like Nicki Minaj, when you look at people like Beyonce, sorry, Beehive, when you look at people like Cardi B, as amusing as she is, she's ratchet. But God called me to be royal. I can't be royal and ratchet. You got to choose ye this day who you're going to be. He died so you can be royal. He died so that you can be royal. Social media will have you thinking it's okay to be ratchet. It's okay to be any kind of way on social media. We got young women who are confused, walking around calling each other bruh, walking each other around calling each other wives. The devil is a liar. He shed his blood so that you can have access, so that you can be royal. So that you can be royal, you got to make a decision. You got to choose ye this day who you're going to serve. If Baal be Baal, serve him. But if God be God. Whether you like it or not, you've been marked for greatness. Whether you like it or not, you've been marked for greatness. You can't do what everybody else does. As Christians, we don't live that go with the flow kind of life. We've been called out of darkness and into the marvelous light. You bear the name of Jesus Christ. He's put his stamp on you. He's called you to be different. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 17 that you've got to come out from among them and be ye separate. And I know this might be a different gospel because the church today likes to blend. But you can't tell. You nowadays, you can't tell who's ratchet. You can't tell who's royal. But you've got to come out from among them and be ye separate. We've been called to dominate the earth. You have authority. You have power. Matthew chapter 16 and 19, he told the disciples, I give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth, I will bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I will loose in heaven. You've been given delegated authority. Jesus has given us the keys to the kingdom. And in this hour, the enemy is not playing with the body of Christ. And trust me, he doesn't care that you're young. Turn on the news. Can't even celebrate at a graduation party. Because the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's shooting up graduation parties. Can't even ride your bike down the street without getting shot in the head. He don't care that you're young. You know why he doesn't care? Because he understands what God has placed on the inside of you. He understands, the Bible declares in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, that we have treasures in earthen vessels. And the enemy knows that what is on the inside of you is a nuclear weapon that can tear down, annihilate, and destroy the kingdom of hell. If you ever tapped into the power that is on the inside of you. He knows that you are a loaded generation, one of the most creative generations, one of the most anointed generations. He knows that you have the power to lay hands on the sick at 9 years old, at 10 years old, to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. He knows that you have the power to speak to evil spirits and say, I command you by the power of the name of Jesus. You got to come up and you got to go out. He knows what's on the inside of you. He knows what's on the inside of you. That's why he comes after your identity. That's why he makes you deal with low self-esteem. That's why he makes you deal with depression. He doesn't want you to know what's on the inside of you. But God said that there is a treasure in earthen vessels. This is why the enemy tries to assassinate us every chance he gets. Particularly this generation. We see it now more than ever. The rampage. This enemy is on a ramp. The enemy is on a rampage against this generation. I've seen more young people murdered by police in the last 3 to 4 years than I've ever seen in my entire life. Young people can't even go to school without school shootings. It's unbelievable. I have to train my coaches when they come to work and they come from areas all over the country how to act in case an active shooter comes into the schoolhouse. The enemy has a target on your life. He is trying to assassinate you. He's trying to send out the message that you're next, that you are going to be a statistic, that you're going to be just like the one next to you. He wants you to think that your destiny is out of reach. But I came to tell you today that I don't care what weapon he tries to form, I don't care what attack he tries to release, that no weapon that is formed over your life shall be able to prosper. The devil can't kill who God said crown. I came to speak over the lives of every young person in this house today that you will not be a statistic. You will not be a statistic. You will not fall into the status quo. You just testified this right here when we had the awards that you will not be a statistic. You will not be a failure. And even if you make a mistake, your failure will not be final. That you will not die before your time. That you will walk into your purpose. That you will be everything that God called you to be. You may not even understand it right now, but I decree it over your life. Decree it over your life that your steps have already been ordered by the Lord. You will be a glory changer. You will shake up your community. You will do great things for the kingdom of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. He has anointed you to be a light in the dark world. You've got to know that there are greater works locked up in your womb. Doesn't matter what people say about you. You're just like your daddy. You're just like your crackhead mama. You got to understand that there are greater works locked up on the inside of you. Doesn't matter who tries to overlook you. Doesn't matter who says that you're not good enough, that you're not smart enough, you're not cute enough. There is greater works on the inside of you. God said, I know the plans that I have for you. I know the thoughts that I've had for you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. I put a purpose down on the inside of you. I've got great plans for your life. People of God, I don't know about you, but I'm sick of the enemy. I'm sick of the enemy trying to annihilate an entire generation, causing suicidal, homosexual inclination and homicidal thoughts, not only in the natural, but in the spiritual too. There's been a spiritual genocide taking place on the 21st century church, where our young people are being plucked out one by one. The enemy is scheming and conniving and trying to interrupt the plan of God for this last day revival. Because he knows that if he goes after the seed, there will be no harvest. But I wonder if there is anybody in the house today. I wonder if there is a mother or a father or a grandmother who will declare that the enemy has to take his hands off of your seed, that he is trespassing, that he has no jurisdiction over your child, over your grandchild. I don't care what he thinks he's going to do over my dead body, not on my watch. Not on my watch. I'm the oldest of seven siblings, okay? Not on my watch. I got four brothers in the city of Philadelphia, and every single day I wake up and declare they are covered under the blood of Jesus. Not on my watch. I'm not going to be preaching in here and pouring into young people, and they out there getting shot up by the cops. Not on my watch. Not on my watch. They may not be serving Jesus yet, but they will be. They will be. We need people who will stand up and say, not on my watch. You will not be a confused young man. You are a boy. God made you a man. Not on my watch. Not on my watch. You will not be a girl who likes girls. Not on my watch. Hallelujah. In our text today. Hallelujah, not on my watch. Take your hands off my son. Take your hands off my daughter. We break them generational curses. They are not about to be lost and confused. I pray too much. I praise too much. I worship too much. Not on my watch. He promised that the seed of the upright shall be saved. In our text, let me try to get through this. Lord, we got to declare it over this generation. Don't let social media tell them who they are. You speak life over them. We need people who will stand up and declare, not on my watch. And we see this in our text. In 2 Kings chapter 11, tells us a story of how the enemy devised a plan to usurp the throne of King David to stop the plan of God, right? So the Bible tells us that King Ahaziah was a descendant of David. He was a wicked king in Judah, which was the place of praise. He was known for propagating the worship of Baal in the temple. He was not a king that pleased God. He didn't honor God. But even though he didn't honor God, he still had a promise over his life because he was of the throne of David. He was a descendant of David, and we know that David was promised that his throne would reign forever and that through the lineage of David, the Messiah was going to come. So the text tells us in the first verse that King Ahaziah dies, and when he dies, his wicked mother Athaliah set him up. She set him up to be killed because she was some kind of nasty. So she set him up to be killed. But when he died, he left several royal children behind him who were the rightful heirs to the throne. But before anybody could follow in their father's footsteps and assume the positions, their evil grandmother began to murder them one by one. She began to kill her grandkids. We think we got drama in 2019. They had drama in the Bible days too. She began to kill them. One by one. Why? Because she was drunk with power and she wanted to assume the throne. She wanted to be made the power of that day. She wanted to be queen. However, the Bible lets us know that before she could get to the youngest male child whose name was Joash, he had an aunt by the name of Jehosheba who stepped in. She stepped in and she stole Joash from among the royal nursery and she hid him and his nurse in the bedchamber of the temple. It was this moment that she took on the role of an intercessor. It was this moment where she started saying, not on my watch. What does it mean to be an intercessor? An intercessor means to go in between. It is the person who will intervene on behalf of another and intercept the plan of the enemy. This is important for us to understand. As many of us
are called to be the intercessors for our families. We are often the ones who are praying for those we love. Intercession means that you might have to put your life on the line. You might have to put your life on the line for the sake of somebody else. And that's exactly what Jehosheba did. I wonder if there is anybody in the house who is willing to intercede for this generation. Is there anybody in the house that God can trust to make sure that this generation makes it from where they are to their destiny? Jehosheba said, enough is enough. You done killed all the rest of the royal grandkids. Enough is enough. She wasn't going to sit back and watch her evil mother wipe out the entire throne. She said, not on my watch. Is there anybody here who will truly stand up on behalf of a generation who will be the midwives that will look at these young people and say, I know you a little rough on the edges. I know you ain't got it all together, but I see greatness in you. I see that there is an anointing on your life. I see that God is going to use you mightily for the kingdom of God. I can remember when I was a young person, people would tell me all the time, you got a lot of mouth. You got a lot of mouth. But nobody would encourage me and say, one day God is going to use that mouth. God is going to use you to stand up and preach the nations. God is going to use you to prophesy. God is going to use you. Exactly. She said, look at you now. You got to see beyond what you see. They might have a nasty attitude now. They might have a lot of mouth now, but teach them. You got a lot of words. Let me teach you how to use them for positivity. You real bold. You real stubborn. Let me teach you how to be righteous for the Lord, because he can use you. He can use you on the front line. Jehosheba cared more about seeing the plan of God come into fruition than she did her personal agenda. So despite the threat of losing her life, she hid her nephew in the house. And for our purpose, the house was the temple. It was the house of God. And she hid him for 6 long years while her evil mother was reigning. Because while Athaliah was reigning, she thought that she had murdered all of the royal children. So she hid him in the house. And while she was reigning all alone, there was a king somewhere hidden in the house. Don't you know that when God has a purpose on your life, that he will hide you in the house? And sometimes we get mad. We don't even want to come to church. We don't understand why we got to be here. But God is hiding you in the house when people around you are 16 and getting pregnant, when people around you are committing suicide, are cutting themselves, and you're wondering why. Why I got to go to Bible study? Why I got to be at vacation Bible school? Because God is hiding you in the house. Sometimes, when there's a purpose on your life, it looks like we go through seasons where nothing is happening. It looks like we go through seasons of stagnation, and it looks like we see somebody else in the place that we know God called us to be in. All along, while we're stuck in the house, and we're just chilling in the house. But I've come to tell you today that sometimes God will allow the wrong person to go before you. Sometimes he will allow the wrong person to occupy the space to show you when it's your turn what not to do. We saw this with Saul and David. David was anointed king, but Saul was still ruling. He had to see what not to do. When the power is released to you, when it's your turn, this is what you don't do. Tell somebody there's a purpose for you being in the house. For 6 long years, and I'm going to move through this, Joash was hiding in the temple. And while he was hiding in the temple, he was learning in the house. He was learning how to take care of the house. He was watching what the priest did, and he was watching what his aunt did and how she ministered in the house. And young people, you've got to understand that it's a privilege to be in this house. You can never take for granted that God allowed you to come to a house where you can feel the presence of the Lord, because what you see here is what you should be learning, or what you're going to take into the world and use out there. When I go to work and I sit across from college presidents and provosts and the director of admissions, and they're looking at me and they're saying, you're so poised and you're so articulate. You know why? Because when I was 5 years old and when I was 6 years old, my mama would make me learn the scriptures, and I would get up in church and I would have to speak them so that when I got older, I knew how to talk in front of kings. Sometimes we don't value what we're learning in the house. But the reason I know how to have peace when I'm at work and all hell is breaking loose is because of what I learned working with the people of God when I was in the house. I don't know about you, but I thank God for hiding me in the house. It could have been another way. I could have been a statistic, but he hid me in the house. Young people, you've got to stay in position. Whatever you do, stay in the house. The world is going to do its best to pull you out. Some of you might be thinking right now, I'm going to go to church until I'm 18, and then when I go to college, I'm done. Let me tell you something, that is a trick of the enemy. When you turn 18, you go to college, you get an education, you bring it back and serve in the house. Only what you do for Christ is going to last. All the money in the world is not going to keep you. Only what you do for Christ is going to last. Stay in the house. You may not understand it all, but stay in the house. Don't evacuate the house. The story goes on. Joash, hidden in the house, and Jehoshaphat and Jehoiada finally got to the point where they couldn't take it anymore. Athaliah was out of control. She was perpetuating the worship of Baal. And it was now time to reveal that there was a king in the house. So Jehoiada went to the priests at the temple. He went to the guards and he went to the elders and he swore them to secrecy. Why did he swear them to secrecy? Because if Athaliah, if this evil grandmother would have found out that there was a king hiding in the house, she would have had him killed. So he told them, listen, at the time of the changing of the guards, I need you to form a fortress. Remember in Checkers how you would form a fortress around your man. He says, I need you to form a fortress. I need you to form a ring around the prince. And so I need to do a little bit of a demonstration. If you guys would stay with me for just a minute. I need a couple of people. I need some men up here. Can I have about 6 men? Come on, Daddy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Awesome. Can I have 3 men on this side? 3 men, just stand shoulder to shoulder on this side. 3 men on this side. Move back a little bit. Stand in one line. Face me. Move over just a little bit because you're going to need to walk across. Move up a bit. Move up just a bit. Y'all move all the way up here. See, I like when my daddy come to church because I can use him in demonstrations. All right. Can I have a young person? Can I have somebody volunteer? Come on, young lady. Is your So, Jehoshaphat and Jehoiada, we're going to go all the way over here. They said, you know what? There's a king that has a great purpose. There's a king that has a great destiny. But this king can't get into position because there's somebody there who don't belong there. And so what I need is for everybody to get on board to help this king get to the place of destiny. What I need is for everybody to be on one accord. So Jehoiada the priest, while Jehoshaphat was preparing the king, Jehoiada the priest went to the guards and he said, listen, this is what I need you to do. He said, there's a certain time in the day where the guards are going to change shifts. And what I need you to do while you're changing shifts, while you are going this way and you get ready to be on your shift, and you are coming this way because you get ready to be off shift, this is what I need you to do. I need you to cover the king. I need you to cover the king. Come on, walk with me. I need you to cover the king. Come on, walk with it. I need you to cover the king. Don't talk about her, but I need you to cover her. I need you to make sure that she gets to her place of destiny. I need you to make sure that no matter what, no matter what, no matter what, that she makes it to this place of destiny. Her skirt might be a little short. Her dress might be tight. She might not cross all her T's and dot all her eyes, but I need somebody who'll be willing to Say, king me.
King me.
King me. Y'all can go to your seat. You can go back to your seat. We need some intercessors who will say, I see the power of God in this generation, and I'm willing to cover you. I know that you made a mistake. I know that you did some things wrong, but there is a purpose in you. There is an anointing on you, and I'm willing to cover you. I'm not going to talk about you. I'm not going to tear you down, but I'm going to cover you until you get to the place that God has called you to be. I need you to cover you. To cover you. We need some people that will cover this generation when they can't pray for themselves, when they can't intercede for themselves. I need you to say that I'll get down on my knees and I'll cry out to God, save my son, save my daughter, deliver him, oh God. Cover him. This is the generation that's going to usher in the greatest revival that we've ever seen. And we need somebody that'll be willing to cover them. Come on, somebody say, cover them, Jesus. From the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Put a badge of protection all around them. We cover them in the blood. We cover them in the blood. We cover them in the blood. Hallelujah. And I don't have no children, but I'm covering your kids because I want to make sure that they don't die too early. I want to make sure that they don't get hooked up on drugs. I want to make sure that they don't commit suicide. Cover him. You've got to cover him with his blood. You got to cover them. We are in the midst of a changing of the guards. One generation to the next. We are in the midst of a changing of the guards. And if you don't cover them, they're going to be exposed to the enemy. If you don't cover them, they're going to be killed in the transition. If you don't cover them, they're going to be cut off before time. Young people, I want to tell you, in the midst of this changing of the guards, and I'm almost done, that you got to make sure that you're connected to the right people. That's right. You got to make sure that you choose the right friends, that you're connected to the right people. Because if it was Jehoshaphat and Jehoiada that looked out for this king. So it matters who you're connected to. You got to understand that the parents that you have, God chose them for you. He chose them to make sure that you get to your place of destiny. So to make sure that you can look the enemy in his face and say, king me. I am the rightful king. I am the heir to the throne. You got to make sure that you are connected to the right people, because those are the people who are going to cover you while you're walking in your purpose. It was those people who preserved Joash and got him to his appointed time and to his appointed place. When you are submitted to God, he will strategically put people around you. Even when you get to college and you get on a college campus, when you have a heart for God, he'll send that one professor, he'll send that one counselor, that one advisor that will cover you. Got to make sure that you tell God yes. You got to make sure that in this transition that you tell God yes. And I've said it many times, you might not even understand all of what this means. But the very fact that God has you in this house right now is an indication that he has a long-term plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. So you've got to tell him yes. And for the parents who's been struggling, don't let them go. For the parent who's had a child who's been rebellious, don't stop praying for them. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 66, can a city be built in a day? No. But as soon as Zion travailed, you got to learn how to travail for your child. You're not getting this one. Not today, not tomorrow, not next. Young people, you got to let the enemy know that you came to claim your crown. Maybe last week you didn't know who you were. You didn't know that you were royal, so you were walking around quoting lyrics that you have no business quoting anyway, using language that you have no business using. And I'm not saying that you can't have fun. I'm not saying you can't have music. I like to think I'm fun. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you got to choose. There is a difference between light and darkness. There is a difference between hot and cold. You've got to make a decision of who you're going to be so that God can use you for his glory. Today, I encourage you to go after your crown, to go after everything that the enemy tried to take away from you, everything that the enemy said that you couldn't have. And know that you might have to go through some things, but the Bible declares that if you suffer with him, you will reign with him. The Bible declares in Romans chapter 8 and 18, for I reckon, this is my favorite verse, that the sufferings of this present time, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. It does not yet appear what I shall be. You can't see it yet, but don't judge a book by its cover. Because there's a treasure on the inside of me. God is making me and he's molding me. He's growing me up. He's putting power on the inside of me. Can't even be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Come on, stand to your feet. Today I came to declare to the enemy, King me. King me. You thought you were going to steal my throne. You thought you were going to take my place. But God had a plan for my life. And that plan was get to my destiny. And it's at that place of destiny that you can declare over the enemy, King me. Give me what's mine. I snatch it back out of your hands because it belongs to me. I'm going to pray. I pray that you were encouraged by that word this morning. It's such a serious day. It's such a serious day that we live in, specifically for our young people. I believe that more young people are dying in Philadelphia than old people on a daily basis. It is a genocide. We are in a state of emergency. But listen now, I'm not letting these kids go without a fight. This will not be an easy victory for the enemy. And that's the mindset you got to have over your own. You're going to fight for these. It ain't going to be so easy because God has a plan for their lives. And God's plan can't be revoked. It can't be altered. It can't be canceled. It can't be turned around. So they are going to walk out the plan that God has for their life. They're going to be successful. They're going to be anointed. They're going to be deacons and elders and trustees and ministers. They're going to be used for the kingdom of God to turn this world upside down. I want to pray for the young people. I'm going to ask for every young person in the house, every person that feels young, to meet me at the altar. And I'm just going to pray. And I'm going to declare that the devil can't kill who God set crown. Come on, if you have a child at this altar, you ought to be standing up here with them. If you have a grandchild, a niece, a nephew, you ought to be standing up here with them. They can't do it by themselves. They don't know the way. Thank you, Lord. Come on, they're still coming. Thank you, Jesus. Young people, just repeat after me. Say, King me. Come on, open up your mouth and say it again. Say it to the enemy. Say, King me.
King me.
Amen. Father, we love you. We honor you. We thank you for your word today. We thank you for the declaration, oh God, that the devil can't kill who you said crown. And Father, we thank you for every young person at this altar today. We thank you, oh God, that from their mother's womb you knew who they were, that you called them, that you anointed them, that you put a purpose down on the inside of them. And today we speak to that purpose and we decree and declare that they shall live and not die, that they will declare the works of the Lord amongst this generation. We speak to their hearts right now. God, maybe there's a young person up here who's feeling sad, who's been feeling depressed, who's been feeling overwhelmed. We speak a resurrection, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you would touch their heart, that you would touch their emotions, that you would touch their minds, in the name of Jesus. Let them know that you love them, oh God, with an everlasting love. And even when they feel all by themselves, let them know that you will never leave them and you will never forsake them. Lord, I speak over those who've been struggling with low self-esteem, those who are not sure of who they are and who you called them to be. God, I speak that they are the righteousness of God, that they are a chosen people, that they are royal priesthood, that they are anointed, that they are the head and not the tail, that they are kings and queens in the kingdom. I speak to that spirit of low self-esteem, and I decree and declare that it will loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus. You will not have these kids at 8 years old walking around depressed, can't even find a smile. Give them their joy, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Give them their joy, oh God. God, I pray for those who the enemy has come after their innocence, those who have suffered abuse. God, I pray that you would heal right now, God, in the name of Jesus. For those who haven't even told anybody, they've been afraid, oh God, I pray that you would heal, oh God. Give them the courage to speak up, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We come against that spirit that would want to violate them. The blood of Jesus is against you. Yes, Lord, the blood of Jesus is against them. God, we speak to those who have struggled in their academics. God, we declare that they have the mind of Christ. Lord, we pray that you would remove confusion in the name of Jesus. God, those who have trouble comprehending, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will give them clarity of thought and understanding, oh God. I pray that even on this summer that they will put the tablet down and put the iPad down and pick up a book in the name of Jesus. Lord, we speak to those who've been struggling with behavior issues. God, we thank you because you are Jehovah Rapha and you are able to heal every diagnosis. We speak against ADD and ADHD and ODD and all of these diagnoses that the teachers and the doctors and the counselors want to put on our kids. And we decree and declare that they will be obedient, that they will practice self-control and self-discipline, and they will make the enemy out of a liar. In the name of Jesus, we come against that spirit of rebellion. You declared in your word that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And we speak that they would yield to those who are in authority, that they will be obedient to their parents, to their camp counselors, to the adults in the neighborhood, that they will be obedient. Take away the spirit of mischief. In the name of Jesus, we thank you because there is greatness at this altar, that there is wealth at this altar. We speak over their lives that they will have multiple degrees, that they will be CEOs, that they will be founders of organizations, that they will be pastors and prophets and teachers, that they will be missionaries, that they will lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. We speak over their lives right now. We cancel every word curse. We speak, oh God, that they will be the bloodline breaker, that they will be the generational curse breaker. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray for this village. We pray for the parents. God, help them not to be weary in well-doing. Help them to understand that there's going to be a return on their investment. If they train them up in a way that they should go, that they're going to watch the manifestation of you in their lives. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you would strengthen their hands and strengthen their hearts and strengthen their heads, oh God. There's a mother who's been saying, I just don't even know what else to do. God, strengthen her right now in the name of Jesus. God, you be Jehovah Jireh. You know what the needs are, oh God. You provide for every mother, every father. God, meet the need. God, give them strength. I pray, Lord, that as we walk away with this from this altar, that every adult in this church would walk away with a not on my watch mentality. Doesn't have to be my kid. Doesn't have to be my grandkid. But I decree and declare that you won't have this one. Not on my watch. God, we thank you for the declaration over their lives that the devil can't kill who you said crown. That they will walk in royalty and be all that you called them to be. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen. Come on and bless the Lord. Come on and bless the Lord.
You are royal.
Come on and bless the Lord. Come on, that's right. If you got a kid.